And we should really applaud Brat Swamini for the wonderful games that she has done for us. So we can loudly cheer her by saying Hari Bol 3 times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So to begin with the topic, it is invincible arrows. So we'll see what invincible arrows means. Anyone knows what is invincible? Not invisible, invincible. Very good. Undefeatable. Anything else? Unbeatable. Powerful. So basically which hits the target at the core. It doesn't even budge a centimeter or a millimeter. It just hits the target at the core. So when you hear of invincible arrows, what can you think of? Heart. And the arrows which pierce it, that is love or maybe lust. Okay, whichever way. Right. So one meaning could be heart and lust or love. Anything else? Yeah. What I'm trying to ask is invincible arrows, what you can correlate it with? Arjuna, very good, very good. Determined thought process, very nice. Anything else? Concentration, okay. So, I'll keep the topic a secret for a little more. Yeah. So, you know how many senses we all of us have? 5. Can you enumerate them? Touch, smell, sight. Face, taste, and hearing. So of these 5 senses, which is the most powerful? Smell, okay. Anyone else? Sight, okay. Anything else? Taste. Okay. Can you taste a gulab jamun when you are sleeping? If I put it near your mouth. If you are sleeping and I want to get all of my envy out and pinch you. Can you feel the pain? You can if I really pinch hard, otherwise not. If I show you a beautiful scenery of Kashmir when you are asleep, can you see it? No. What else? During and smelling. If I bring the most fragrant flower or perfume, can you smell it when you are sleeping? Not really. But if I want to wake you up from the best sleep that you are having on a Sunday afternoon, I will closely walk into your room, sit next to your bed, go near your ear and shout. Will it awaken you? Yes, it will definitely. In fact, why do we use an alarm clock? Even if we don't want to get up from the bed, the alarm clock will make you get up because that is the power of sound. So, the Shastras say that of all the senses, the sense of hearing is the most powerful because even in sleep, you can use that sense, right? Brahma, he's the first created being. And when he was created, he didn't know anything because everything around was dark. Okay? And he just heard two syllables, ta-pa. And he understood ta-pa means tapasya. I have to do austerities and then the plan of me being in this universe will be revealed. So he performed austerities. So that is the way the first created being of the universe gets knowledge through words, through the power of hearing. In fact, the power of hearing and the power of words are so powerful that the embryo within the womb of a mother, they are also sensitive to noise. So as soon as the baby is born, the only thing that the baby recognizes in the form of sound is the mother's voice. In fact, there's a beautiful WhatsApp which has been circulating recently. The lady is trying to sing a lullaby, very beautiful lullaby, and the lady is singing and the baby is just so calmly hearing. And as soon as the same lullaby is being sung by the father, the child starts crying and yelling because it doesn't recognize the father's voice. So, you know, Abhimanyu, you know, when he was in his mother's womb, Subhadra's womb, he could hear the, you know, of course, then Subhadra fell asleep. So she didn't hear the entire Chakravyuh, how to come out of it. So Abhimanyu just knew how to enter it because Subhadra had heard that much and Abhimanyu knew that much. So that is the powerful, the immense power of hearing. And we hear because there are words. Otherwise we can't, right? There's a movie, long back there was a movie called Pushpak, na? Pushpak. It didn't have words. But then, do you think we can understand the movie without words? Yes. We could because there were other forms of language. There was non-verbal language, there were expressions, yeah, there were gestures, and that's why we could understand the movie in its totality. Okay. Words, actually, the medium to hear, they are so powerful. The speech is so powerful, you know, as we... medical students or medical graduates, professionals, if they are here, they will understand, they will agree with me. Generally, any capacity, any ability in our body is represented on both sides of the brain. So if I'm picking up something from the right hand, that is, you know, represented on the left side and vice versa. Speech is the only thing which is represented only one side of the brain, only on the left side. For a person who's right-handed, and Ambika will agree, and for a person who's left-handed, it's represented on the right side. Because speech is such an evolved function of living beings that it is represented only on the left side, not on both sides. And that too of humans. Animals don't have speech. They do communicate in their own ways, right? But humans have the most evolved type of speech or communication. Now, coming back to communication, how many types of communication do we know of? As we just discussed, there's verbal communication, right? And there's non-verbal. In verbal, it could be written speech, right? Or written words, or it could be ears, words which are heard, right? And then non-verbal, we have gestures with hands. We have facial expressions. What else? We have attitudes by which we can convey to people, right? So all body language. So these are ways by which we communicate to people. Okay, so if words are so important, if they are so evolved, why do we call them invincible arrows? I mean, they are the most beautiful forms of expression. Why did I say that words are invincible arrows? Because words, when spoken correctly, they will hit the target of the heart and soothe and pacify you. But the same words, if they are spoken with a wrong tone, wrong attitude, wrong expressions, it will totally communicate something else and it will go and really pierce the deepest core of the heart. And it is so traumatic. Right? So that's why let's discuss why words are called as invincible arrows and whether we can do something to rectify them, to rectify our words, to rectify our speech. Right? Okay, so there's something called as code language also. Among different types of communication, code language in a good sense, maybe the army people, you know, or navy, defense people, they use code language. Do you use code language in your colleges? If you have to name someone, you won't say the name, but you will use code language so that only few of you will understand. In our department, few of us, we are friends. But then just to, you know, create a humorous atmosphere, we have created code names. So someone is Thai. We are all doctors, but these are code names that we use. Someone is Thai, someone is Akka, someone is Bhau. And you know what the HOD is? Mata. So when you get a call from the department HOD, the others will tease you. Chalo bulawaya hai, mata ne bulaya hai. And then baki log chillate hai, jai mata ki. So that's the code language we use. So that is also one type of communication. what happens when we speak? So it is not just I'm speaking something and you are hearing. When I speak, the words come into ether. They enter your ears, but they enter my ears also, right? So it is going to your ears, it is entering my ears, unless I'm deaf, of course. And from the ears of you as well as me, it goes on into our respective hearts. If it was limited to the ears, maybe, okay, but that's not the limit. They will enter our hearts, and that's where the problem is. Right? If it is good speech, very good. If it's not, if it's hurting, it will hurt your heart. So that is the process of speech. And it depends on how I communicate. If I want to say something and I don't communicate it properly, you will hear something else. Like in the beautiful games that Ratswami did it for us, whether it was gestures, you know, touch of hand, or whether it was words or actions, someone said something, others did something else. Totally a chaos. So the medium has to be right. Every person has to understand it the same way. Otherwise, it's a chaotic situation, right? Now, believe me, the biggest of the revolutions on our planet, the biggest of the reforms have taken place by the power of words. Leaders, whatever sphere of life they are in, they have used the power of words to convince people. And people have been either motivated or agitated to do the needful. So that's the power of words. Now, so there was this person who was speaking about the power of words. And then one of the persons in the audience, he says, this is nonsense. You say words, words, and the power of words. Suppose I say good fortune, good fortune, good fortune. Will good fortune come on me? No. Suppose I say bad luck, bad luck, bad luck. Will bad luck come upon me? No. So I don't believe in the power of words. So this person who's speaking, he's well versed with his topic. He said, you don't understand a word of what I say. As soon as he said this, the person in the audience who was saying that there's no power of words, he started cursing the fellow, cursing the speaker. And there the speaker said, calm down, my dear friend, calm down. If you don't believe there's power in words, what I just said, how has it affected you? Right? If you don't believe in the power of words, you should have just kept calm. But no, you didn't. You actually believed in what I said. You believed in the power of what I said, and you got agitated. So that means there is power in words. How much power? They say the pen is mightier than the sword. Right? Words are mightier than the sword. Words carry enormous weight. Enormous. We can't imagine the power of words. Right? Now, let's take a small example. I use the word fire. Okay? And I'll give you different scenarios. And think what it could mean. Right? So I say, there is fire in the barbecue. Or for some of us who like the traditional system of cooking, let me say there is fire in the chula. So just think what it means. Okay? Now I say, there is fire in the institution that we are working in. Understood? Then I'll say, oh, there is fire in the theater. Same thing has different meanings. Same thing could be detrimental. Same thing could be good. It could be physical fire. It could not be a physical fire. So words, same words used in different contexts have different connotations. Okay? You're with me? Okay. Now, Bhagavatam gives a very beautiful story of how a few words spoken as well as not spoken have given rise to one of the best devotees of the Lord. So this story is about King Uttanapad. Okay? He has two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. Each wife has a son. Suruchi has a son named Uttama and Suniti has a son named Dhruva. So once, both these sons are pretty small, maybe 3-4 years. And once the king is sitting on his throne and he is holding Uttama on his lap. Now Uttama, mind you, is the son of Suruchi, who happens to be more closer to the king. The king loves Suruchi more than he loves Suniti. So he is just holding Uttama on his lap and he's playing. And there comes Dhruva and he wants to climb on the other side of the lap, on the other lap. And Suruchi just does this. She doesn't speak, just does this. So he's not able to climb onto the lap. Uttanapad could have done something. He could have just raised Dhruva and kept him on his lap. Uttanapad didn't do anything. And then, because he loved both his sons, but because his favorite wife was there and he didn't want to show favoritism to the other son, the mother of whose was not present, Suruchi sensed this. And she said, "You, Dhruva, you are not fit to sit on the lap of the king because you are not my son. If you want to sit on the lap of your father, you have to be taking birth again as my son from my womb." So you understand what she says? That you in this body, you can't stand sit on your lap, father's lap. You need to be reborn as my son. So that's a great insult, right? For a small child of 4, it's a great insult. And believe me, children understand. It's not that they don't understand. So he was broken, he was tormented, and with tears in his eyes, he went to his mother, right? Of course, the story continues, and Dhruva, he goes to the forest to meditate, to seek the Lord's blessings, and Narada Muni comes, intervenes, and gives him the path to devotional service. And then Dhruva says, "Narada, my dear Guru Narada, I was seeking for small pieces of glass, and you gave me the most precious gems of devotional service." But why I said this story was how words can affect, spoken as well as unspoken. Suruchi didn't say anything. She just glanced and gave him a gesture. And Uttanapad didn't say anything. Had he just spoken something to Dhruva, Dhruva would be pacified, right? But he didn't do that. So as I said, words, they carry enormous weight. They are really, really strong. They are really, really heavy. If you speak words which are not very good, it will create cracks. Where? On our clothes? No, it will create cracks in our heart. It will actually break our heart. And break in a way that it will take years, maybe decades for it to heal. Right? And in Japan, they have a very nice custom, you know. They use porcelainware, you know. So suppose any piece of furniture or any piece of glass or, cutlery is broken, they will take the pieces again. They will maybe stick something to put the pieces together and they will plate those cracks with gold. So just imagine, say a broken saucer, with all the cracks, wherever the cracks are, they have put gold on it. So it's a beautiful piece of art, mind you. Haan, jitne cracks se utna gold hai. Beautiful to look at. But they use this to show that once the heart is broken, it can be mended but never repaired. Right? You can put the pieces together to use it as a saucer again probably. But those gold rims, those gold wherever the cracks are there, they will remind you throughout life that your hearts cannot heal. So that's the power of strong words or wrong words. There's this famous author called as Dr. Frank Lutz. He has written a book which is titled Words That Work. And there he says, humans, we are 80% of us is emotions, and only 20% is intellect. That means we respond, we experience, we live by emotions. It's not always our intellect. Intellect is only 20%. Rest 80% is our emotions, right? Now, as I said, invincible. So the tongue is very flexible, right? So you can use your tongue as an arrow You can shape it like an arrow. And you can release the bows of words. And when you release it, it's gone. That bow is never going to come back into your armor. Right? So you have to be careful of what you speak. And believe me, it hits, as I said, it hits the target right in the center. Nothing, no budging. Right at the center it will hit. King Solomon, he says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Right? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who believe it will reap the fruits of it. Okay? So, now we'll just do a small 1 minute exercise. Just contemplate on some conversations that you have had. It can be with your parents, with your siblings, with your relatives, with your friends, with your teachers, anyone. Just contemplate on what type of conversations you enjoy the most. You can just, maybe with your eyes open or closed, as you wish, just think about what type of conversations you like the most and keep it to yourself. Okay? Maybe half a minute. Okay, everyone has found out the conversations that they relish the most. Okay, now, there are different types of words we use in our scenarios, in our world. One is spoken words. Second is unspoken words. Okay, which we just touched upon, we'll be touching in detail. Then there are rumors. And then there's something called as social media. Okay? So let's touch upon each of them. Okay? Words. When we speak, the words that we speak are like a mirror. If you want to see what I am, my words will show you what I am. If the mirror is dirty, you will not be able to see me. Right? But if the mirror is very clean, you will be able to see me. And you will be able to see me how I am. If I use nasty language, you will understand what I am. If I use good language, you will understand what I am. So words form the mirror of what you are. And if you want to show yourself to someone, you need not show your face. Because face can be deceptive. Looks can be deceptive. They say, now, you can gauge a person as soon as the person starts to speak. Right? So your words are the mirror to show how you are to the world. You can shape someone's life. You can shape someone's reality in his or her day-to-day life by what you speak. If you don't understand this, go to a kid in any family. You will understand. The way the parents speak, the way the siblings speak, the child just picks up those same words. The parent or the siblings don't have to teach anything to the kid. The way they behave, the way they speak, the child gets it. It's automatic transmission of knowledge. Right? Swords, now, there's a very good observation here. Sword, right, S-W-O-R-D, remove the S, word. End me like your words. Sword and words. Swords can threaten. Swords can kill. Words will ruin while we are still alive. They will not kill us, but they will keep us with the pain throughout our life. Right? Leaders use words to manipulate us. So suppose the good people in the world, the scientists, they speak of global warming and how it is so detrimental to us. The politicians will say, oh, it is just some climate changes. You need not be bothered. Right? Scientists will say, stem cells are so important. And someone else may say, suppose these stem cells were given some other name, say like XRT028. We will never know what are stem cells. But kyunki unhone use kiya hai stem cells and everyone knows about it. Right? So words can be manipulative and politicians use words to manipulate all of us. that we see most when? Just before the elections. All the promises that they keep, that they make, they will never keep. So you have to, now, are we careful when we use our words outside, outside our homes, in our offices, in our college, in our, with our friends? Are we careful when we use our words? How many of you are careful when you use your words outside your homes? Can you raise your hand? How many of us are careful when we use our words outside the homes? Okay. Okay. How many of those who have raised your hands? The others, I believe, are not careful. So, it's okay. We can learn something. I will also learn today. Those who have raised your hands, can you keep your hands raised? Thoda uncha. Okay. You're doing good, so we can raise your hands high. How many of you, if you say yes to this, keep your hands risen. If you don't, then just keep it down. Others can close your eyes. How many of you, those who use words carefully at outside home, use the same words carefully when you are at home? Wow, there's only one, two, so three, wonderful. So we can, five. So we can, six, wonderful. So we can really clap for them. Hari Bol. So that means these are great souls amongst us who use their words wisely at home and otherwise. For the rest of us who don't use it wisely anywhere, or for those of us who are pseudo people using it wisely outside but not at home, let us understand that if words can cause so much pain, how can you be so rash with your own people at home, right? That means we have to be careful not just with the outsiders, but also for the insiders. And we have to be careful everywhere. So use our words wisely. Now, let's speak something about unspoken words, okay? So, there's a nice quote. It says, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything, right? If there's a scenario and you really can help that person by saying something nice, go ahead. But if you can't, just keep quiet. Don't say anything. Because as I said, a fool is revealed by the way, you know, he speaks, he or she speaks. Benjamin Franklin, great leader, scientist, he says, it is not just important to remember to speak the right thing at the right time. More difficult than that is to not speak the wrong thing at the most tempting time. Right? It is important to speak the right thing at the right time. But more important than that is not speak the wrong thing when it is most tempting to you. That means, suppose your mother has just yelled at you. You use your deliberation. Don't give her back. Okay? Or someone, your friend has just come and slapped you tight. Hold. You can give your other side, as Gandhiji says, but don't use your words, right? Now, Dhruva, right? If Uttanapad had said something nice to him, if Suruchi had said something nice or had not spoken at all, the situation would not have been created where he was in so much pain. Right? So that means we have to be very careful of even our unspoken words. You know, children, how the mothers control them? If the children are making nuisance, now let us see. Okay, if the father is strict and the mother is lenient, then it will apply to the father. If the mother is strict, then it will apply to the mother. So if the child is creating nuisance and the father is, you know, okay, chalta hai, and the father yells at the child, what the child will do? He will do more. But if the mother is strict and knows to control the child does nuisance, what will the mother do? Like that. And then the child will keep quiet. That means just by your gestures and expressions, you can control the child. So unspoken words are also important. Now let's go. How many of you have thought of this topic when I told you to contemplate on what is most pleasing to your heart? What type of conversation is most pleasing to your heart? Rumors. Don't raise your hands. But if, I'm sure some of us must have thought of this. Let's speak about rumors. Okay? Now, in this Chinese whisper game, the gist is that, no? That you start with a message and somehow it goes on changing as it crosses persons, and the final message is something else. Something totally different. Now, suppose I have to speak about someone. Okay? And I tell it to you, you tell it to her, you tell it to her, and it goes on like that. Finally, when it reaches the end of the room, it's something else. It may be good I started here, when I started here, but वहाँ पर जाके गलत होगा. And it might have been wrong when I started here, वहाँ जाके कुछ और ही होगा. So, that means, is it necessary that everyone passes on the same message? Yeah, but not regarding rumors. जितना rumor tasty चटपटा उतना मजा आएगा ना? No. Rumors में ऐसा है. Suppose, now try to do this, huh? It will really help all of us. I will also try to do it. Suppose someone tells you, hey, chalna, aaj kuch baat karte, very bahut chatpati khabar hai, gossip. Bollywood ka kya aata hai, aise kuch hota hai na, Bollywood gupshup, all those things. Let's do something gupshup. So the friend comes to you, okay? You have to ask her 3 questions before she speaks. Anyone knows what are the 3 questions? So you have to ask your friend, what you are going to tell me, my dear friend, is it going to be beneficial to you? She says, nahi yaar. Then you ask her, is it going to be beneficial for me? She says, no, no, not really. Then you say, is it going to help us solve the problem? She says, nahi yaar. I'm just saying so that you get some chatpata maza, you know. Then you should say, shut up. That's how you control a rumor. If someone is going to say something, if it is not beneficial for you, if it is not beneficial for her or him, and if you both are not going to come together to anyway solve it, what is the use of speaking that rumor? What is the use of speaking that at all? Forget rumors. What is the use of speaking that at all? So we can try to do this exercise when we go back. I am trying to do it. I will try to do it. Yeah. And how much harm it can do to the person you are speaking about. First of all, if I say something wise, right, wise about someone, it is going to poison my mind. It is going to definitely poison your mind. Imagine what the pain that person goes through if she or he comes to know that we have spoken something ill about that person, right? So better to avoid rumors or gossip of any kind, right? So then what do we speak? We have many things to speak. I'll come back to that. Now let's go to social media. How many of us are active on social media? Social media means what? You can add on. I know very few. Yeah, just a minute. I know very few. WhatsApp, I know. I know Facebook. Add on? Instagram. Twitter, hike, huh? Snapchat, tring tring, Pinterest, or, huh? And, huh? Telegram, बहुत सारे हो गए. iPhone पे एक है, FaceTime, वो शायद conversation के लिए है. I think FaceTime भी उसकी तरह है. Okay, so almost 9 types of social media. Okay. How many of you are active on any one of them or more of them? Okay? So all of us. Nahi, ulta puchna chahiye. How many of them are not active on any of these? Who's that great soul? Wow, we have one more great soul, 2 more great souls amongst us. Clap them. Clap for them. So they are not into any type of gossip. Wonderful. Really applaud you. Well done. So, acha, social media pe, suppose आज किसी का बर्थडे है, कल किसी का बर्थडे था, हाँ, वुमेन्स डे था, नहीं, वुमेन्स डे नहीं, anyone's birthday which happened in the last 10-15 days, okay, good, what's your name, dear? Simran, okay, Simran, सपोज वी ऑल ऑफ अस नो सिमरन एंड उसका बर्थडे था 28 फेब को और हमने उसको सुबह से भी नहीं रात के 12:01 हो गया शुरू व्हाट्सएप ट्विटर फेसबुक हैप्पी बर्थडे सिमरन और क्या मे गॉड ब्लेस यू सो मेनी थिंग्स वी कीप ऑन राइटिंग. वो सुबह उठ के जैसे ही फोन देखती है भाई इधर कम से कम इसमें 200 मैसेजेस है ठीक है एंड देन द एंटायर डे शी इज बिजी जस्ट सीइंग किसने विश किया एंड देन उसको बैठ के लिस्ट करना पड़ेगा हाँ इसने लिखा इसको थैंक यू करो इसने लिखा थैंक यू सो होता है ना ऐसे. सिमरन यू टेल मी इन सब लोगों में यदि व्रत स्वामिनी आपको फोन करती है हरे कृष्णा सिमरन इट्स योर बर्थडे टूडे विश यू मेनी मेनी हैप्पी रिटर्न्स ऑफ द डे व्हाट विल यू लाइक हर फोन कॉल और द 200 मैसेजेस फोन कॉल डू ऑल ऑफ अस अग्री. सो द पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू से इज इतना समय वो व्हाट्सएप पे मैसेज टाइप करने से अच्छा जस्ट रेज योर फोन एंड कॉल योर शी मे बी बिजी बट जस्ट विश हर शी विल बी द मोस्ट हैप्पी पर्सन इन द यूनिवर्स बिकॉज यू हैव पर्सनली टेकन आउट दैट 1 minute ऑफ योर्स टू टेक द कॉल एंड विश हर नथिंग विल गिव हर मोर प्लेजर देन दिस. अच्छा व्हाट्सएप रिटर्न स्पीच में आजकल जो हम रिटर्न स्पीच यूज करते हैं ना थ्रू सोशल मीडिया इसमें एक बहुत बड़ा डिसएडवांटेज है. क्या है डिसएडवांटेज इज दैट देर आर नो इमोशंस. इफ आई से LOL मुझे तो पहले ना शॉर्ट फॉर्म्स आता नहीं है. किसी ने बोला कि LOL इज लाफ आउट लाउड तो पहले मुझे है ना वही है ना लाफ आउट लाउड हाँ ओह सॉरी देखा मेरा बेसिक मेरा डर. सो लॉट्स ऑफ लव सो और लाफ को क्या बोलते हैं लॉट्स ऑफ लाफ ओके. सो मुझे तो पहले समझ में टाइम लग गया बाद में फिर मेरे हस्बैंड ने बोला ये नहीं ये दिस इज लॉट्स ऑफ लाफ तब मैं हंसने लगी कि भाई हाँ ऐसा है. सो इमोशंस तो नहीं है आप जो भी अभी देखो हैप्पी बर्थडे है आप फ्री में उसको गुलदस्ते भेजते हो हाँ ठीक है विदाउट स्पेंडिंग इवन अ पैसा यू सेंड गुलदस्ता ठीक है उसको कैसे पता आपका इमोशंस जस्ट गुलदस्ता देख के. बाकी ग्रुप में देर आर नया से 150 पीपल 149 हैव विश्ड हर यू आर द ओनली वन हु हैज नॉट विश्ड हर जस्ट आउट ऑफ यू नो अरे यार बाकी लोग मुझे क्या बोलेंगे इसीलिए यू विश हर एंड यू सेंड गुलदस्ता एंड यू सेंड अ केक एंड यू सेंड अ ड्रिंक एवरीथिंग यू सेंड ऑन व्हाट्सएप. Is it showing your emotion for her? Not at all, because you have done it just as an obligation, right? अच्छा, someone has died, or maybe someone has failed in the exam, okay? And then you send this, okay? And then someone told me, "Arya, this is not Indian namaste. It is this." Imagine. Someone has failed and you do this. So that is emotions versus emoticons. You are not actually conveying your emotions at all. It can be this, it can be this. How will you convey? That means social media has nothing to convey your emotions. Right? But still everyone will use it. Kisi ne ek example diya, ki he wanted to fire his junior. So he wrote a lengthy message with, you know, horrible words, right? And he just cursed him and, you know, discouraged him and so many things. And 3-4 months later, he read that mail and he was like, "Arey, I wanted to convey so much bad to him, but abhi main padh raha hu to itna serious nahi lag raha hai. Because jo uske emotions the, he was not able to convey through the email. Right? So that means social media can convey, but not fully. So we need emotions. As I said, 80% of us is emotions. Emotions. And only 20% is intellect. So we need emotions, which social media will never have. Acha. Trolls. You know of trolls? How many people in the world, at least a famous personality, have been trolled upon, and creating so much of pain for those people? Big film stars or maybe sports stars. And you write anything you want under a pseudo name, and the person gets hurt. And there's nothing you can do to rectify. Just under the garb of some pseudonym, you can hurt the person the way you want. That's the disadvantage of social media, right? When you speak falses repeatedly, consider two scenarios. There is truth, which we speak rarely. And then there is false news, which we speak repeatedly. Okay? Jaise ki Elphinstone ka accident hua tha. Accident mane disaster hua tha, right? So, I don't recollect exactly, but it was something like fool padle, right? Kisi ka fool, guldasta hai jo bhi leke jata, wo gir gaya zameen pe. Fool padle ahet. And then it translated into pull padla. Can you imagine? Pull padla ani kiti log mele? 17 people? Yeah? Yeah. So many people died just because of that massive disaster. Why? Because it was wrongly communicated. Right? So, fool padle, truth. And pull padla, false. Fool padle, ekdat sangitla. Once said. Pull padla, repeatedly. Pull padla, pull padla, pull padla, pull padla. Finally, pull fell. Pull gir gaya. Right? And people also died. Right? So, if you speak false things a number of times, it covers the truth. That is called as an illusion of truth. Right? False spoken repeatedly will overpower truth spoken rarely. So that creates an illusion of truth and no one wants to verify. Okay? That means we have to speak the truth. We should not believe in false rumors or false messages. Right? और ये होता है सोशल मीडिया पे. एक चीज कुछ हो गया, आप उसको बड़ा चढ़ा के बोले, एवरीवन स्टार्ट्स राइटिंग. एंड जब खोद के उसको निकाला, क्या खोदा पहाड़ निकली चुहिया. समथिंग एल्स ओनली यू विल गेट, राइट? ओपिनियंस आर फॉर्म्ड. सोशल मीडिया आजकल इतना स्ट्रांग है कि बेस्ड ऑन व्हाट पीपल राइट, बेस्ड ऑन व्हाट पीपल एक्सप्रेस, ओपिनियंस आर फॉर्म्ड. नॉट जस्ट ऑफ वन पर्सन, नॉट जस्ट ऑफ अ ग्रुप ऑफ पीपल, ऑफ द एंटायर नेशन. ओपिनियंस आर फॉर्म्ड एंड चेंज्ड, राइट? I read something very nice. It says, I can change the way you think. How I can change? By writing opinions, by writing comments. But I can never change how you feel. So I can change how you think based on false rumors, false propaganda, but I can never change how you feel. Because that is your personal agenda. That's your personal strength. Right? Okay. So, when we speak of all these types of communication, whether it is wrong words, wrong unspoken words, whether it is wrong rumors, or wrong things on the social media, right? Why do we do this? If we analyze it, it is just because of the negativity within us. I am so negative about a person that I want to defame that person. I am so negative about a country that I want to defame that country. Right? So this negativity comes from grudge. It comes from egoistic attitudes. Right? And we can actually, it's very, very difficult to overcome this negativity. So the entire, you know, this false propaganda is running around because of that seed of negativity. So this teacher, to a class of fourth standard, she said to this class of say 70 students, she said, all children, tomorrow you get as many tomatoes as the number of people you don't like in the class. Okay? So, koi koi bachcha achha tha, kuch nahi leke aaya. Some people got one, some children got one, some got two, some had bags full of tomatoes. Okay? 20, 30, 40, 69 bhi ho sakta hai. है ना, 70 का क्लास में कोई 69 भी लेके आया होगा. एंड देन द टीचर्स, तो द टीचर, स्टूडेंट्स वर वेरी एक्साइटेड व्हाट द टीचर इज गोइंग टू टेल अस. मे बी शी इज गोइंग टू टेल अस टू, यू नो, हर्ट दैट पर्सन विद दीज टोमेटोज. तो एकदम राइप टोमेटोज ताकि डालते दे गॉट दोस राइप मैंगोज. नो, कच्चा टोमेटो यू कैन कीप फॉर लॉन्ग, नो, राइप टोमेटोज यू कांट कीप, बट दे गॉट राइप टोमेटोज. टेकिंग केयर टू सी दैट दे डोंट पिचकोफाई इन द बैग, बट एज सून एज दे कम दे विल हर्ट. And then the teacher said nothing. फिर शी सेड कीप योर बैग्स ऑन योर बेंचेस गो अवे टुमारो वील मीट अगेन द नेक्स्ट डे दे केम फिर द एंटायर क्लास पूरा क्लास चला एंड देन टीचर ने कुछ नहीं बोला लाइक दैट 3, 4, 5 days देन वन स्टूडेंट वन चाइल्ड हु गॉट अप 50 टोमेटोज मैडम माई मदर हैज गॉन इन द इवनिंग एंड टू गेट दोज 50 टोमेटोज राइप वंस आप यू आर नॉट टेलिंग अस टू डू एनीथिंग ओ सॉरी आई फॉरगॉट Wherever they went in the school, they had to carry the pack of tomatoes. Washroom jayenge to tomatoes leke jana hai. PT class jana hai to tomatoes leke jana hai. Games ka class mein jana hai to bhi. Craft class mein jana hai to bhi. So everywhere where they go, they have to So imagine the plight of the student who's carrying 50 tomatoes. And he is the one to ask, ki madam, 4 din ho gaya? 50 tomatoes bhari hai. What are we supposed to do? So then teacher asked, How is your experience? He said, ma'am, nice, but it is very heavy. And some of them are rotting also. I can smell rotting tomatoes. So I can only target maybe 45 now. 50 the. Abhi sirf 45 ko target karungi, kyunki 5 to phut gaye. The teacher says, okay, was it very heavy for you? Yeah, yeah, ma'am. She says, so, if just those tomatoes were so heavy for you, those tomatoes representing hatred for those 50 people, imagine how much weight your heart is carrying with all that negative feeling towards those 50 children in your class. How much weight your heart is carrying? Ye to 50 nikal bhi jayenge. Wo weight kaise sambhaloge aap? So this means that when we have negative feelings, now all this as I said, all this we are doing, all negative words we are speaking because of some negativity in our heart. Whether it is ego, whether it is grudge, whether it is bad experiences, we are speaking it out. But imagine how much pain we are carrying in our heart for so long, for eternity, and how much botheration it is to us. Someone gave me a very nice example. They said, take a piece of coal, light it up. Okay? That burning piece of coal is representing the hatred you have in your heart for this particular person. And you hold it in your heart, hand. And then you just keep it. Can you carry that coal with you throughout? No. As soon as it starts burning, you'll drop it. Person said the hatred which you carry in your heart is like that burning piece of coal. That burning piece of coal is not harming you. If I have hatred towards you, is it harming you? My hand is getting burnt. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So that burning piece of coal is not hurting her, but it is definitely hurting me. That means the negative feelings which we carry in our heart for others, it is hurting us more than anyone else. So we have to get rid of it. Right. Secondly, have you heard the concept of trash box? Trash box. Email mein hota hai na, junk, trash box. So sometimes, have you experienced this? We use someone else as a trash box. Jo bhi negative feelings mere man mein usko bol dene ka. We consider that person is very good friend. So bas jo bhi, whatever I think, whatever I feel, just vomit it out on the person. Is it going to help? It will help. Only if that person is a really good friend of yours, understands you, and when you are done with the vomiting out, somewhere later that person can correct you. Then it is going to help you. Otherwise, please don't, for me also, we should never use someone else as a trash box unless we are really close to that person and unless that person has the right which we have given to correct us. So never use people as trash box because it is going to hurt them also. And they will not take us seriously anytime because then they will run from us. Whenever I come across this person has garbage to give me, to dump me. So that person will go away. So then harsh speech is again, as we analyze, it is also because of our wrong attitudes and perception. Right? Now let's come to fault finding. Okay? Rumors jaise baat kiya, let's come to fault finding. Sometimes we have to do fault finding, like parents, no? If they don't find faults, how will they correct us? But then we have to analyze for ourselves am I doing the fault finding as just an enjoyment for myself, or am I doing it as an obligation? Like if I have a very good friend and I have to correct that person, it is my obligation, my moral duty to correct that friend as a dear person. Then it's an obligation. But if I am doing just out of vengeance, then it is not right. Right? So we have to analyze ourselves. Am I getting enjoyment out of it, or am I doing it to help the person? If I'm doing it to help the person, go ahead. But then you have to later pacify also. Like if you have given some wounds of harsh words, you have to pacify them by applying the ointment also. Otherwise it will not work. And we should be very prayerful. Because when we are prayerful to correct someone's mistakes, that person gets, I mean, we are praying for the person, right, to get improve. So the Lord showers blessings on that person because we are praying for the person. And the Lord tries to remove the obstacles in us, removes the emotional blockages amongst us. Let's go to something called as feedback. Fault finding hoga, rumors ho gaya. Let's go to feedback. Okay? Many of us are working, right, in corporate situations or elsewhere. So we have this yearly feedback, right? Yearly appraisal. Okay? So there's something called as Losado or Gottman ratio. Okay, what is it? That ideally that ratio should be 3 to 6. That means so then it will be 6:1. That means 3 maska, beech mein ek kadwa. Okay. So that is the feedback ratio. Now we have spoken so much about negative speech. We have spoken about why we create negative speech, why negative words, why negative emotions. Let us see how we can rectify. So we'll take two aspects of it. One is from the worldly knowledge wise, and one is the better one. We'll take it from the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So if you go into corporate circles or corporate books, these are the solutions offered. That means you have to speak words, only the words which are beneficial, which are correct to that situation, which are going to help that person, right, and which give solace to that person. So these are the criteria. That means it has to be right, it has to be beneficial, it has to be the need of the hour, and it has to be giving solace to the person. Okay. Now this is very heavy, but it's very good. Speak as if it's your last word. So today if I say something to you, speak as if it's the last word. I never know now whether I'll meet you again. I may be, you know, run down by a car. So speak as if this is my last word. That means you have to be so careful that every word that I speak is right and beneficial for that person. Right? There's one Canadian educator. He gives the concept of OMP. 1 minute pause. That means when we are sitting in a, say, a meeting one to one or maybe one to many or in a difficult situation, the person says, first gather yourself, think why you are there, think why that situation has arisen, and then after taking a 1 minute pause, then you go ahead. That means you gather yourself. Don't just start speaking. No, gather yourself, think, and then you can start speaking. So that is the 1 minute pause. Okay. Negativity diet. You have to go on a negativity diet. Hum bol rahe negative speech mat karo. But we have to go on a negativity diet. What is it? Suppose I have to say, this meal at what restaurant? Fasos. This meal at Fasos was horrible. Instead of that, I could say, I have had better meals. Kyunki jisne aapko treat diya, usko bhi lag gaya na, bura. Fasos to bura lag gaya. वो पर्सन को भी बुरा लगा यार मेरा ट्रीट है एंड शी इज सेइंग सो बैड सो यू कुड से आई हैव हैड अ बेटर मील देन यू हैव टू यूज द पावर ऑफ बूस्टिंग पॉजिटिविटी दैट मीन्स इफ आई से दिस कीर्तन वॉज गुड लाइक हाँ आई फॉरगेट हर नेम शिखा शिखा डिड अ वंडरफुल कीर्तन आई रियली लाइक्ड इट. So I can say the kirtan was good. I said her that. But actually I could have used the word the kirtan was terrific. You see, it makes a lot of difference. So you have to use negative diet. That means if it's a negative thing, you can tone it down. And if it's a positive thing, you can boost it up. Right? Then You have to surround yourself with positive words. Positive words means affirmations. Like when you get up in the morning, surround yourself with affirmations. Yes, I can do it. Yes, I will do it. Or yes, Krishna will empower me to do it. Like that, positive affirmations. Then there's something called as positive high five. Okay? Now, high five. Isme bahut saari cheez hai, but I picked down three which I thought was most important. You know, when we speak of gestures, sometimes the most soothing conversations could be just a gesture. Maybe a pat on the back, a strong arm on the shoulder, a hug, a very kind hug, right? So the most powerful conversations can be just through gestures and just through your body language. So it could be a meaningful touch, it could be an attentive ear, and it could be the most expensive gift of your time. Right? Your time is most precious, but yeah, that you could give to others. Right? And we have to be very, very conscious of what we speak, what we read, what we hear, and also who we are befriending. Because all this, what we speak, what we read, what we hear from our friends is going to affect us. So we have to be very choosy even in selecting friends. Right? And newspapers, gossips, false friends, no, we don't want them, right? As I said, when we speak of close relations, when I said 6-to-1 ka ratio, maine bataya na, but sometimes many acts, many small acts, they do wonders. They work much better compared to big few acts. Are you getting me? So if it's a husband, of course, you are unmarried. Okay, let's take your example. So if your brother and you are always fighting and he says, itna jhagda kiya hai, let me just patch up by giving you an expensive gift on a Raksha Bandhan day. Okay? That will do wonders. But more than that, what will work is, if for 6 times in the year he says, Didi, tum kitni achhi ho. Didi, you so well, you take care of me so nicely. Didi, you cook so well for me. Didi, you put my clothes so nicely. Right? So small acts of kindness do greater wonders than many small acts of kindness do greater wonders than big acts, but few in number. Okay? Then sometimes we have this, you know, demanding urge to be right. To be even, right? So how do we control that? We can control that, you know, if someone gives us, we can give it back to them. But then when we become eager, even, that happiness is very meager, small, and it is not long lasting. So how do we understand, how we analyze it? Is from the perspective of Bhagavad Gita, right? We say, we understand rationally and intellectually that probably that person was also in some difficult situation, that the person has reacted like this, so let me forgive. Second way we can analyze is, probably it is the result of my own karma. I have done something to him in the past and he has given back to me now, he or she. So that is the second thing. Secondly, thirdly, we should remember that Krishna is forgiving us for all the mistakes that I am doing. So can I not forgive this person for one small misdeed? Right? And if we feel that that person doesn't even deserve our forgiveness, we should still forgive. Why? This is when we are feeling the urge to give back, right? When someone has hurt us and we want to give back, but then we should control, right? So if we feel that, nahi yaar, that person doesn't even deserve my forgiveness, but believe me, Krishna likes a person whose heart is full of devotion without any malice. So because Krishna likes it, we can cultivate that heart, right? And this is very, very important. We may have to take rebirth if we don't emotionally close down our hurts. If we don't emotionally close down our wounds, we may have to take birth again to just get the benefit or reap the benefit of it. So we can forgive and forget. Right? Sometimes forgiving is easy. Forgetting is not easy. But we should forgive and forget. And Bhagavad Gita 17 chapter, there's a very, very beautiful verse. I'll translate it. It says austerity of speech. Austerity means tapasya. Austerity of speech means you speak words that are truthful, that are pleasing, that are beneficial, and that are not agitating, and that are continuously relishing from the scriptures. So we'll try to analyze this small this verse, very important verse. Truthful. Now many times truth sach kaisa hota hai? Kadwa. Okay. Everyone knows. Truth can be bitter. Many times it is bitter. Okay. In your home, if you have a small child, or remember when you were a small kid, agar bitter tablet dena tha, mummy kya karti hai? Usko ya to powder karti hai, but that is more bitter. So she'll put it in a banana. Ek banana cut karke, chota piece usme andar dalegi. Or she'll take a bundi laddu and put the tablet inside and then give you. Small laddu or small sweet, right? So that means that truth has to be coated with a sweet covering. So truth has to be spoken. We can't, just because I want to speak truth, I should not, give false appreciations. Like, again, coming back to politicians and their chelas. Oh my Lord, you are everything for me. Nahin. We don't have to falsely praise, but we have to speak the truth in a palatable way. Palatable means, jo hume hajam kar paaye, jo hum hajam kar sake, right? Jo hum digest kar sake. So you have to speak the truth, but in a very pleasing way, in a soft way. So, kehte na, jor ka jhatka, dheere se lage. That means truth is kadwa, truth is bitter, but when we coat it with a sweet covering, it becomes palatable. I can digest it. Thoda takleef hota hai, but somehow it has gone in, I can digest it. Okay? Secondly, pleasing. Okay? Choose words. Okay. Many times when we speak, now our words can be windows or it can be walls. Windows means, okay, let's see what walls mean. If I speak harshly and what I want to convey is not at all reaching you, or what I speak is reaching to you in a totally different way, it creates a wall in between me, right? And gradually that wall becomes like that China wall. It's now huge. And every word I speak is acting like a brick, or a brick, or a brick, or a brick. Lambai mein bhi badega, unchai mein bhi badega. But our words have to be like windows. My words, correctly represented, had to be like windows which will give you a peek into my brain, mind and into my heart. Into my brain and into my heart. Right? Are you getting it? So my words have to be so well chosen that they don't create barriers, but they create windows for me to look into you, for you to look into me. Right? So we have to remember that when we say pleasing, it is no walls but windows. So we have to use words like that. Then, okay, when I speak of palatable speech, one thing I forgot. You know, when we work in organizations and many leaders, they come, they have great summits, and the best outcome of that, one of the best outcomes that these leaders have come up with is, if you want to really motivate people to do the best at their jobs, no amount of bonus will work, no amount of gifts will work, no amount of coupons will work. What will work? Appreciation. If you genuinely appreciate that people, see, when people work, they're giving their time, they're bringing their heads to work. But if you appreciate them profusely, they bring their hearts to work. Right? So appreciation is the most important, not just in casual settings, even in formal settings like workplace. Right? Then, words should not be agitating. That means if I say something, it should not hurt you. Right? So, when I spoke of fault finding, am I doing it as a temptation or am I doing it as an obligation? If I am doing it as an obligation to help someone, I will make sure that my words are properly placed, my words are proper, my words are right, so that the person is not agitated. Right? One more thing. What we speak of others speaks of what we are. Right? So, suppose... Now, generally in this world, people follow this. What do they follow? Appreciate at the front. When the person is in front of you, appreciate. Glorify. Glorify. As soon as the person goes out of the room, criticism. Criticism. Criticize. Right? But I heard this from my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, that better to appreciate behind the back. When the person is not there, appreciate so that everyone comes to know the glories. And when the person is ahead of you, in front of you, and if you are in a position to help that person, criticize, but softly, so that person gets the message. So we should appreciate behind, and if required, criticize in the front so that the person is corrected, not out of any ego. Right? Maybe we'll just take 10 more minutes if it's okay. And then, okay, in this beautiful verse, as I said, Krishna says, austerity of speech consists of what all four things? Words that are truthful, words that are beneficial, words that are pleasing, words that are not agitating, and words that continuously sing the Vedic literature or speak of the Vedic literature. Now, yahan par do important points hai. Austerity. Krishna says, speech is austerity. It's a very difficult thing to understand, no? Is speech an austerity for us? No, we to speak anywhere, anything. Krishna says austerity of speech. That means Krishna says the tapasya of speech. That means we have to consciously cultivate speech. That means we have to be so careful of what I'm speaking. And how do we do that? By speaking continuously from the scriptures. That means if we use our tongue to continuously read from the scriptures, to continuously chant the divine names. At the beginning it may be difficult, but when we use our willpower to do that, recite from the scriptures, read from the scriptures and chant the holy names, we become cultivated, we can consciously cultivate that speech, and then it becomes a wonderful tool of communication. Right? So Krishna says austerity of speech. He doesn't say the loose speech. So even speech has to be austere. Austere meaning we have to cultivate in a very austere way so that it becomes beneficial for all. In fact, one of the acharyas from South India, when someone asked him, how do you preach? He's made a very beautiful sentence. He said, speak only if required. Imagine, the other person is asking him, how do you preach? And the acharya is saying, speak only if required. That means he is saying your behavior, your actions, your concern is speaking louder than your words. And if at all you have to speak, speak little. Right? So when it comes to speech, the lesser is the better. Right? And our concern and love we can show by different other ways. Speech can be used to a minimum. Then words. So in this way, if we use our words, we can appreciate the talents in others and we can also kindle the other potential areas of his talent, his or her talent, right? So the same arrows, the words which were invincible arrows, which were painful arrows, how we can cultivate, we can change them? We can change them into something like medicated arrows. That means when I speak, it goes right at the heart. And jo bhi gandagi thi wahan par, jo bhi nuisance tha, it will just remove that nuisance and come off. Or it will go with, maybe smeared with an ointment, go there and wherever the heart was hurt, it can relieve the pain and the suffering. Right? And such words we can use not to weaken our relationships, but to strengthen our relationships. Right? So it said, never underestimate the power of words, whether good words or bad words. Because after all, the Lord has put us in each other's company because He wanted us to affect each other in a positive way or a negative way that we have to decide. Right? So, you know, when we chant Radhe Shyam, I'll come to that last. So it said in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. Every word is a song. Are you not willing to go to that spiritual world? Right? And we can do it very easily if we cultivate these small good habits, beginning from words, because as I said, ears are the most powerful senses. So by reading from scriptures, by chanting the divine names, we can also get an entrance to the spiritual world where every step is a dance, every word is a song. So just to end the topic, you know, at the end of Kirtan, sometimes we say, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So, what is Prabhuji's name? Prabhuji from Vrindavan. Dinabandhu Prabhu, he is Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He gave a very beautiful meaning of this word. He said, think of how Radhe Shyam is written. Okay, Ra, then De, and then Shyam. So he says that letter Ra, it looks like a hook, right? It looks like a hook. That Ra part, it looks like a hook. So he says, when we chant Radhe, so when we say Ra, that hook of the holy name goes in into a heart. And it goes into the heart, picks up the dirty things, picks up the vices from there in its loop. And when we say Dhe, it will remove us, remove the all the vices from our heart, through our mouth, outside. And then we are relieved. So we say Shyam. So we can do this now. So how we chant is Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So we'll end by chanting these three times. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. All of us have a lot of vices. इतने थोड़े देह से निकलेगा नहीं, वो देह बहुत बड़ा करना पड़ेगा क्योंकि अंदर बहुत गंदगी है. सो टू वंस मोर, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम. वंस मोर, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम. थैंक यू सो मच.
सो वी वुड लाइक, हरे कृष्णा, वी वुड लाइक टू थैंक अर्जुनिया गोपी माता जी.
For a wonderful class by loudly chanting Hari Om.